The last time I spoke on a Wednesday night, the lesson was entitled Esther, the Rise of Haman. Tonight, it's Esther, the Conspiracy of Haman, the Conspiracy of Haman. And conspiracy, if you look it up in the thesaurus, these thoughts come up to plot against, to use trickery, manipulation, or collusion. Have you ever played the game strategy? And it's two armies and they have their general and colonels and then there's a spy. And the only one that can kill the top dog on the other team is the spy, but everyone can kill the spy. And so you have to figure out a way to take the flag. And you have bombs and you have strategy and you try a little bit of trickery to win the game. How any of you ever played the game Risk? World game, world war, it's a fun time. And I figured out a way to do it by myself. I'd have like eight teams and I was playing all eight teams. And I kept a record of who won and who lost. And I really got into it pretty neat. And some would say it became, a fixation on it, but I overcame it. So I'm moving on. But we find to plot against, to use trickery. But if you look up the word conspiracy in the dictionary, it is to conspire against. And that's exactly what Haman will do to the Jews. So let's read verses 1-5. Esther chapter 3. And after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet tonight and to discuss this very interesting chapter in the book of Esther. And Lord, we see how Haman is doing the bidding of Satan in trying to rid society of the Jews with the hope of stopping the line through which Jesus Christ would come. But Lord, we are so glad that you are in control. And this book is a good picture of that very thought. And Lord, we thank you for 2020. And we look forward, Lord, to 2021. Hoping, Lord, that you would use us in a mighty way. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, then was Haman full of wrath. If you look up the word wrath in the thesaurus, you come up with anger, rage, fury, vengeance, indignation, resentment, a desire for what? Revenge. Revenge. The word wrath has with it the idea of someone almost out of control. Now, I don't think any of you have ever had road rage. But the fact of the matter is we see people out of control on a regular basis. But they desire revenge is not uncommon. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12, and we'll begin reading at verse 17. Don't lose your place in Esther. We will be back. But Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Some very crucial thoughts for born-again believers. Recompense to no man evil for evil, period. So what's that tell you? That we're not to seek revenge, right? Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Wow, that's kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes even within our own family. Sometimes with ourselves. Verse 13, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now he says, it is written. And if you were to turn to Deuteronomy 32:35a, you would find this thought, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. In other words, leave it in the hands of the Lord. Leave it in him. May I say this? All desires for revenge comes from one place. From one source. Tell me who it is. The devil. Lucifer. It all comes from him and his desire to be in control. Haman's hatred of Mordecai would lead to his own demise. His own demise. Jealousy, anger, and bitterness are all seen in Haman. Resentment, we find with it comes the thought of anger and bitterness, ill will, spite, indignation, displeasure. Resentment. Let me ask you a question. What led to Eve's sin? Could it have been resentment? She had been told what? Don't eat of this tree. And she said, what? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I want that fruit. How about Cain? Did not his murdering of his brother come from resentment? God blessed Abel's sacrifice, but he did not bless Cain's sacrifice. He became resentful. We think of Korah. Now, we don't talk about him very often, but when we do, it's always in the negative. Because Korah became resentful of Moses. And he told Moses, you shouldn't have all this responsibility. I want some of the responsibility. Resentment. How about Achan? Achan stole the gold and the silver and the Babylonian garment. Yes, he resented that he had been told not to. He took it, and what did he do with it? He hid it. So what good was it? How about Absalom? Did Absalom become resentful? I think he knew that Solomon would be the next king of Israel. And he wanted to be the next king of Israel. Resentment. How about Jonah? Jonah had been told to go do something and he resented it. Have you ever resented having to do something? Absolutely. Resentment plays a big part in their life. But Haman was full of wrath. He was full of resentment. Jealousy always leads to anger. And anger always leads to bitterness. It's 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. And you can see it in your own life. If you are open to it, you can see. Verse 6, back in Esther chapter 3. Verse 6. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shown him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to what? Destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. Isn't that sad? I mean, when you ponder that thought, you think, what type of ego did this man have? What arrogance that he would seek to destroy not just this one man that he was angry with, but all his people. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, would you please? And of course, keep your place here in Esther, but Luke chapter 22. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Before we go on, this isn't in my notes, but I'm stopping for a moment. But isn't that a fearful thought that Satan entered into Judas? It would tell you that Judas was not what? That he was not saved. Because we can be influenced by Satan or his demons, but they cannot enter into us because we are protected by the blood. We are within the hands of our God and our Savior. But as we continue reading, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him. Now, who was the him? Jesus. To betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him what? Money. Money's good. Wouldn't you agree? But I tell you what, it better not take control. It better not take control. And yet we find that money runs so many things, even within government and politics, and even in our society, even in our families. Verse 6. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Notice verse 2. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him. Isn't that a scary thought? They wanted to kill the creator of the universe. They wanted to kill God. Well, that doesn't seem strange, because many in our society want to kill God today. They want to tell you that we are here by pure chance. That they want to tell you that we evolved. They're trying to kill God. They're trying to say we don't need God. We continue in verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas. Those are some of the saddest words in the Bible. That he was now possessed by Satan himself, who was directing his life. Now, be careful, because any of us can be, what's the word I'm looking for? Directed, tempted, to do wrong. Never think you're above being tempted. Given the wrong opportunity at the wrong time, you will do the wrong thing. And we all must be on guard. Verse 4 says, and he went his way. It's never a good thing to go your way when it's going away from God. Here he had walked with Jesus for some 3 years. That tells you something, doesn't it? That someone can be involved in church their whole life and yet still not know Christ as their Savior. And that is a scary thing. But we find here that he went his way and communed how he might betray him unto them. He went and dwelt, dwelt and dealt with the enemies of the Lord. Verse 5, and they were glad and coveted to give him money. There was some talk on a talk radio program on what is the best gift to give at Christmas. And as they were talking, they came to the conclusion that money was the best gift. That second was gift cards. The only problem with gift cards is it limits you to what you can do, unless it's like a Visa gift card. Or what's some of the ones we gave this year? The Amazon. Do you like Amazon gift cards? I don't see a whole lot of yeses and nos out there. But anyway, Donna says yes, she's in favor of them. Okay, I got one at home for you. I bought too many of them. What am I going to do with it, right? Anyways, but then they said to give food. Do you agree with that? That's always nice. You know, some of it's pure sin. But, you know, but giving gifts, but to give him money, it's amazing what people will do for money. In verse 6, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Our spiritual enemy has tried on many occasions to wipe out the Jewish people, or at least to corrupt them to stop the birth of Christ. Even in the beginning, the killing of Abel, killing the righteous one. Because that's what Abel was. He was righteous. We find Pharaoh and the killing of the Jewish baby boys. Oh, it's fine that the girls were survived, but they wanted to kill the boys. You know, you think about Aaron, the brother of Moses. Do you remember what he did? How he made a golden calf, directing the people away from whom? Jehovah. And leading it to a false idol? Hadn't they just come out of Egypt that was full of idols? I wonder if this calf that he made resembled something that was back in Egypt. I wonder. But it was an attempt of Satan to direct the people of God in a different direction. How about Balaam? Balaam was paid to do something to stop the Jewish people. And he said, well, just put temptation in front of them. And they did. And how about Athaliah? I think we're going to learn about Athaliah this coming Sunday in the Bible reading. But Athaliah, who destroyed the seed royal. Who do you think put within the heart of Athaliah to kill the king, the royal seed? It was Satan. But God said, I'm going to save one. I'm going to hide him. I'm going to hide him. And here we have Haman, if you would, back to Esther chapter 3 and verse 8. Verse 8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. Is Haman lying? Yes. Now, in some ways, he's telling the truth. They're different. Jewish people are different. God's chosen people. You know, it's interesting that Israel was in the hands of Arabs for hundreds of years and it became a desert. Children of Israel have taken control of it since what, 1948? 1948. And it's a whole different place today. Trees everywhere. It's beautiful because God's people, and though they're not saved, but they're still God's people, have been blessed by him. And Israel is a perfect picture of that. Perfect picture. But there is a certain people. You know, I think it's great when believers are called those certain people because we are different. Peter calls them strangers and what? Pilgrims. We're just traveling through, folks. There's a better place ahead. Better place. But there's a certain people. Daniel 3:12. There are certain Jews. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Do you remember who they were talking about there? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now try to say that in a different order. Abednego, Shadrach, and Meshach. Boy, you get them in the wrong direction, it's hard to say it. But anyways, there are certain Jews. There are certain people. You need to get rid of them. They're not good for us. Therefore, it's not for the king's prophet to suffer them. Haman is putting doubt within the king. He's trying to say, hey, you got to be leery of these people. Isn't that what Pharaoh thought? They're multiplying more and more, and they are going to become greater than us, and they'll take over. And so Pharaoh said, let's kill the male children. Let's kill them. Verse 9, Esther 3. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. Now, folks, that's a huge decision. Let them be what? Destroyed. Let's not do anything in a soft way. Let's do it in a major way. Let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of them. Verse 10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. What are those last three words? The Jews' enemy. The Jews' enemy. Now, the world was a different place back then than it is today. These things that we carry in our pockets or our purses or on a belt, they have made it so things can happen in Indonesia that you can know about it in hours. But back then, they would have to send things out on camelback and horses. And they would send them out, you know, postmen. And they were going to send out the decree to destroy the Jews. What an interesting thought. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman. He said, I'll pay. I'll pay, it says in verse 9. We find that he is the Jews' enemy. Take your Bibles and keeping your place here in Esther, turn to Genesis chapter 12. Now, really, you can never talk about being the enemies of the Jews without going to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is so important. And I believe it's one of the reasons God has blessed America is that we have chosen so far to be the friends of the Jewish people. Notice what it says in verse 1, Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. Now, I know the verse continues, but right there, the Lord is telling Abram, who will become Abraham, that I will bless those who are going to bless you, and I will bring judgment and curses upon those who do not. And then there's that great thought at the end of verse 3, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And didn't we just celebrate it a few days ago? Because all of us are blessed because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, may I say this? The birth of Christ is special, but it means nothing without the death of Christ. It means nothing without the resurrection of Christ. If Jesus had simply been born and walked on planet Earth for whatever amount of years and then just ascended up into heaven without having died, it would have meant nothing. Nothing. But we know that he came and we have been blessed because of it. Back quickly, if you would, to the book of Esther chapter 3 and verse 12. And it says in verse 12, then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. Who had the king's ring? Haman. And so we find that the language is such that we are going to tell you what you need to know. Verse 12, then were the king's scribes called. And verse 13, and the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, and then you could take the spoil. That sounds an awful lot like Hitler's Germany, correct? When they took the Jews and they sent them to the concentration camps and they took what they had of value for their own. To destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish. You know, believers down through the years have suffered the very same things. And it could happen again. It could happen again. Verse 15. And the posts went out, being hastened by the king's command, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, period. And the king and Haman sat down to what? To drink. To drink. We have just sent out a decree to kill a whole group of people, and we're just going to sit down and drink. How very sad. But the city of Shushan was perplexed. In conclusion, let's turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. We'll read verses 16 through 19. Well-known words, we've read them on any number of occasions. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Haman was not a friend of the Jews, and his desire is to kill them. And so we find here the conspiracy of Haman. We will continue next week. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the thoughts that we read in the book of Esther. And Lord, how we see through this book your protection of the Jewish people. But Lord, we know that you love all people of all nations. And your desire is that all will come to know thee as Savior, no matter what their race, no matter what their nationality. You died so that all could come to know the Lord as Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.